From a magical standpoint, any solid could be considered earth. Which means, like I think I mentioned before, that anything that has solidity to it, obviously that has some earth, no matter what else it is. Direction is north. Tool, the plate, or shield, the pentacle.
As opposed to a pentacle?
Yes. Pentacle, magical book. The pentacle is a five-pointed star with a circle around it, as on the Tarot suit, the Earth suit business. A pentacle is a plate or shield of any shape. The pentagram pulls from the apex a point to its base. And George Stevens has noted, if you want to communicate with elementals, put the point down, like of a five-pointed star. Five-pointed star only operates if you pull at it or push at it, whereas the seven-pointed star that we use is just continuous. Once it's set into operation, it's continually in motion and operation. The elemental spirit is the gnome, or gnome, as most people say. I always say gnome.
I don't know.
Of the different elementals, it's possibly the one that thinks more similar to humans, but much more slowly, lives much more slowly. Kind of reclusive, grumpy. Don't really like to talk to people much, only because you like to talk to them skew. It would be sort of the same. We're too fast.
Very much what happened next.
Look for gnomes in granite outcroppings. One of the things I've noticed, you'll see a face and then you look back, nope, not there. Listen for tapping, like two rocks striking together, or you notice a round hole up in a cliff and you go up there and look, but no, it's not there.
How do they push you?
What would you say?
Karmas.
Like the other elementals, you don't bother them, they don't bother you. They have their own business.
Yeah.
Pericles. No. Pericles?
Paracelsus,
thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was looking up in the dictionary. What did I look up? I looked up undying, and there was in the dictionary, and the first definition for it was for Paracelsus.
Uh-huh.
An elemental spirit. Whoa. So then I looked up sylph and salamander. The first definition for salamander was not, little thing called John looking orange. But
so you gave us a note on that. You said that this system was originated by Paracelsus.
The naming, the nomenclature that we use in Seven Arrows I find that a lot of the native systems don't have families or species categories for elementals. They're sort of like old King Solomon. King Solomon was also known as Solomon the Mage and was the one that developed the whole technique of conjuration, magical conjuration of elementals. And he named each one that he conjured, which was well and good. It's sort of like, this scientist, he's got this glass slide, and there's a whole lot of things running around in this drop of water. He names every single one of them that he sees. He gives it a name, right? He doesn't stop to sort out, all of these look alike, and so we'll call this whole group thus and so. He just names each individual one. Well, Paracelsus came along and said, wait a minute. We need some way to categorize these relative to the elements they relate to. And so he that's how we got the idea of, you know, sylphs, salamanders, undines, and gnomes. Is he said, well, we need families of these. The ones associated with air we'll call them sylphs. The ones associated with, and so forth, instead of naming every individual one we see floating around.
About what period of time?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Could be, I think, early 1800s.
Sylphs?
I
don't know.
It
was Greek.
Yeah,
I think it was. Greek or early Rome?
Well, now, wait a minute. What is the, then, who was the inventor of the thermometer?
Oh, that was Celsius, not Paracelsus.
Okay.
That was Celsius. And yeah, that was 1800. Yes. No, Paracelsus, I think, was, I think you're probably closest to right on the Greek. Something like that. In fact, pre-Christian.
Okay.
Pre-Christian philosopher, scientist, and so forth.
Part of a person's physical body. Directional view is to the past, history, or retrospect. Colors. Living or dynamic is grass green. Stable, deep brown or earth brown, and pure is black, which is a color we won't work with.
What, in what sense pure? Pure
that's
earth,
right.
Is that?
Basically, what it amounts to is there is no example, as far as we know, or I know, of pure earth on this planet, other than subatomic particles like a neutrino. Or perhaps the black hole in space would be
whatever's at the bottom of one, given the behavior of a black hole.
But as a comment on that, if you use your experience in an as above, so below sense, everybody has experienced something like black earth in what we call suck rocks, or people who just suck on you or pull on you a lot. That appears to be very passive, but actually there's a dynamic force behind that passivity that pulls.
And we have among our student body now an ex-Scientologist who was a high-level practitioner in their system. One of the old ones that got booted out because he didn't like the new regime. They worked a lot in some of the spiritual areas. And we got up to Earth, and despite our cautions, he decided he was going to undertake to play with pure Earth. And fortunately, he had some interesting bailout techniques, because otherwise he probably wouldn't have been around. Fortunately, he didn't make it right here. He put it out there. And basically, he described it as being a black flame.
Mm-hmm.
That when we get to the characteristics of Earth shortly, it is totally receptive, but in a very active manner. And we all have, as spirits, we have certain things we use as anchor points to keep some kind of location to this universe. That ball of black flame that he put out there swallowed his anchor point. If he had it closed, he'd have been in it. As it were, it just managed to get about three of his anchor points before he managed to let go of it and get reestablished.
There's a connotation of often called like dead earth or motionless, but in another sense it's not, like, because it has a dynamic force, you couldn't really say it's motionless. You know, I mean, so just consider that it has a great pulling and absorbing quality. The same reason we don't generally use black candles for ritual or spell work, because you can't rely on them. It's like they'll pull everything. You're trying to untake something, it can suck it up. You know, I mean,
they're a psychic sponge, and so they can become contaminated and go negative on you just like that. Deep purples and golds are the same way. Stay away from them, because sure, it looks powerful as hell to whip these out, you know, and it's the power trippers like to play with them, but the power trippers don't last either in practice. Because they can go negative like that. The colors that we have you all using, if they're going to go negative on you, it's because you forced them that way, not because they will intrinsically do it.
If you think about also black is a completely pure color. And yet the bands we're going to use are not pure colors. They have other qualities to them. So it's the same thing that we talked about, that quartz crystals and why the clear ones just are difficult to utilize. And
utilize safely, because they can become contaminated so easily.
Like this woman there, too, that Susan did, that had the paint all around her house. She came for her first session with me and proudly told me she had, oh, I kept them all the time. She carried these two humongous clear quartz crystals, one in each cup of her brazier.
All you have to do is be around fluorescent lights for a little while and they're contaminated. Be around a leaking microwave, they're contaminated. Be around somebody that's angry and they're contaminated. Be around somebody that's sad or frightened and they're contaminated. Sit in front of a television set for a half hour and they're contaminated.
How do they become uncontaminated?
Well, you can bury them in the garden for a moon cycle. That's one way. Another way is to bury them in salt for a while.
I'll go through that too when we do have clean.
But there are ways.
You can clean them.
You can clean them and you can keep them shielded too, but I will give you all that technology. If it's a specific thing you need to know, because you got some, see me after class.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get too ahead.
Yeah.
Spiritual aspects, certainty or serenity of beingness. You had a note in the book that I didn't totally understand about that, in that you said other systems call it just beingness.
Mm-hmm.
But from, I think the thing here as I understand it is beingness really is more of an aspect of spirit.
Sure, it's a spirit level.
Right.
Yeah, your spiritual aspect is that isness.
Right.
And the certainty of it.
So the certainty of it becomes the earth part, because the self has beingness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't need earth to give it that.
Yeah, and one of the things that has messed up most people as spiritually is that somewhere along the line something has happened to shake the stable datum about their beingness. And at that point they become manipulatable and unstable. I would describe it, you know, since I wrote that book, you know, they've been, you know, trying to explain that one to bitch. To me, for a spirit, it is the certainty that I am that is unshakable. No matter what condition I'm in, whether I've just fallen into a black hole, whether I've just lost a body, whether I've just been involved in a nova, or whether I'm totally outside any universe and the void or anything else, that certainty that I am, that I'm unwilling to let go of, that would be this serenity of beingness. The certainty that that cannot be destroyed. As far as I know, it is impossible to destroy a spirit.
So any questions or comments on the correspondences of Ken?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, Ken? Deborah? Bob? Do you want to try to take in gnomes and things in boxes?
I guess not.
It would be tough.
There was, in terms of how they relate to people, my co-pastor, when she first came to Colorado, went to work at the Teagan Library, and that was fine. Some friends of hers were having some problems up in a canyon back to Boulder. They'd go up there to camp at night, and there'd be this strange light on the hill, and then they'd go up there, and there wouldn't be anything there, and they were real worried about all of this and got real flaky. So she went out there and she was going to do something about that. And the lady writes some fairly potent poetry on occasion and so forth. And so there was an issue of getting rid of the source of that. Basically, in about 5 minutes of just standing there and sort of getting a grip on the valley and then doing this poem, She yanked the gnome out of the hill and put it in a tree. Well, that was all well and good, except the tree was a live tree and had its own tree spirit. We refer to them as dryads. Okay, well, so she came back down to Boulder, and her friends were up there camping, and there wasn't any more problem, right? Except this tree, it was shattered that they can't find. And down here in Boulder, she's got this sense that something's following her around. Which, so, finally, there was this issue of she got tired of that and told it to go away, go about its own business or whatever, but just get out of her area. She had no business with it, and it had no business there. Fine, it's managed. About 5 years later, we started going together, and then we started Seven Arrows, and my oldest daughter is Wiccan. Was Wiccan anyway. I don't know whether she still is. But anyhow, there was this issue of studying some of the Wiccan techniques for dealing with elementals, and there was this exercise for getting in touch with gnomes, and we're doing this down in South Lincoln, right? I'm not participating, but here's Linda there, and she's all busy using this tech, and all of a sudden there's this tap on the head. And along with this texture of this exploding tree, and then this vanishes. That was the gnome. The one that had been following me around Boulder was the dry. The gnome had a long memory, and he'd been waiting a long time to catch her when she'd be wide open. What had destroyed the tree was, of course, the argument between the dryad and the gnome, and the gnome was convinced he had to be there because he'd been conjured there, so he had to be there, and the dryad was convinced he had no business there because it was the dryad's body and he was a possessing entity. And the net out on it was that the tree was loud. And, of course, the dryad was unhappy about that. She told Linda about that. The gnome was unhappy about that. And just decided to sit back, and he could wait. He could wait an opportunity. Don't pull gnomes. Don't pull elementals in boxes.